Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and today's topic will be about mortgage fraud and how we can stop it. We're going to give you some things to do whereby you can protect yourself and defend yourself in this situation. Most of us already know about the mortgage crisis and how the banks were doing their thing, and but what we're going to deal with now is some solutions and how to deal with the bank, how to deal with the mortgage company itself, your renters, people if you're renting in an apartment or what have you, what to do. But we're going to look at some stuff right away, and the first thing we want to do is get this information here out, okay?
Welcome back here to Fox and Friends. Are you like millions of other Americans right now facing foreclosure? Well, did you know that there are three simple words to stall the whole process? Ah, it's like a ray of light in my life. Kendra Todd is a real estate analyst and a host of HGTV's My House is Worth What? Joins me now to talk more about this. Good morning. Good morning to you, Kendra.
Oh, good morning, Clayton.
Okay, so the three words. What do people need to say to their bank to stall foreclosure?
Produce the note. It's really that simple, three little words. And if you think about it, it's kind of astonishing to think that banks are having, in many cases, a difficult time producing the original documentation that homeowners purchase or signed when they purchased a home. But University of Iowa did a study, and of 1,700 bankruptcy cases that had to deal with foreclosures, 40% of them, they couldn't find the original loan documentation.
This is unbelievable to me. So you call your bank, you call maybe your loss mitigation department at Chase or Citibank or wherever your mortgage is with, and you say, I know we're going through this foreclosure process. I just simply want you to produce the note. How long can you stall this process for?
Well, there have been some extreme cases in which people literally have stalled the foreclosure process for years. But at the very least, if they can't produce the note, maybe it'll stall it for a couple of weeks. But here's what's important to understand is delaying the foreclosure process doesn't solve the problem. It might drive straight to the heart of this whole mortgage mess. But if it buys you time to be able to negotiate with your bank for a lower rate, lower payments, that's great. But use the time that you have to do something productive with it.
Okay, so in that remaining time that we have here, loan modification, forbearance, and a short sale, some of these things that people should try if they have 60 days of reprieve to get this done?
Absolutely. Now, if you want to stay in your house, you really want to negotiate with the bank, possibly with a forbearance, which allows you to make less than the full monthly payments per month. Obviously, getting a lower rate and payment helps. But 68% of people who are able to negotiate lower rates still go into foreclosure. So it is important to try and figure out something on a financial level to help keep you in your home so President Obama's new housing plan can help you. Can help the people that are in their homes, not the ones that have lost them already.
All right. Kendra Todd providing us with the three words, produce the note this morning. Great stuff. She's a real estate analyst and host of HGTV's My House is worth what. Check her out there. Also check her out at KendraTodd.com. Thanks so much, Kendra.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very, very important for you to ask your lender to produce the note, because during the debacle, what they was doing was, and they're going to explain to you actually what happened with the banks and how they were taking, gathering up all of these loans and putting them in a barrel and chopping them up and stuff and selling them here and there. And the paperwork got all mixed up and all missing and stuff. And if they can't produce that note, then how can they have a claim and say that they own anything if they can't produce a note? So that's very, very important for homeowners to remember. We're going to go here now and deal with some things involving those people who are renting. And there's a lot of things that you got to watch out for. We're going to get back to the mortgages, but we're going to deal with some of this right now, and I need you to listen to what these guys have to say involving that.
Hi, this is Brad Aldrich, and this week's topic is landlord-tenant law. This falls under the gambit of real estate law. One of the first things that, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, you should consider is the term of the lease. There are different ways that a lease can come into existence. Tenancy can be created either through a written document, which is commonly referred to as a lease, or a rental agreement. And in that rental agreement, you can set out a specific length of the tenancy. Tenancy can also be created even if there is no written documentation. In other words, if a tenant moves into a property and is paying some type of compensation to stay there, and in return obviously gets possession and use of the property, then a tenancy can also be created that way. There are a few other means by which a tenancy can be created, but they're a little more detailed and obscure and not necessarily good for a topic of the video today. If you wanted more information on that, you can certainly contact us directly to discuss it. But I'm going to discuss the two main types of tenancies that are created. Now, if there is no written agreement regarding the tenancy, meaning there's no lease or rental agreement, then there is a presumption at law that it is a month-to-month tenancy, meaning that the tenancy can be terminated by either the landlord or the tenant by the simple giving of a 30-day notice. Meaning you have to give a notice in writing equivalent to the length of the lease, which if it's a month-to-month is obviously 30 days. The most common type is when there is some type of written lease agreement or rental agreement. And that lease should contain certain information. Now, even prior to a lease being signed, both parties should talk to an attorney to make sure that there are certain other documents that are provided. Some of those would be certain disclosures that the landlord has to provide, such as lead-based paint, the condition of the property, etc. And both parties should use an inventory checklist. We recommend an inventory checklist because it can set out the condition of the property at the time the tenant is taking possession, so that when the tenant does in fact vacate the premises, both parties can look back on the inventory checklist and determine whether or not there were any damages beyond wear and tear that the tenant would be responsible for. It helps clarify those issues so that in the event of a dispute, there is some type of written documentation to help clarify that. The lease itself should have some very specific terms in there, such as who's responsible for utilities, who's responsible for making certain repairs, whether or not the tenant is allowed to sublease a portion or all of the property, and whether there's going to be a security deposit and how much. Now, please understand that there are specific information that needs to be put into a lease so that it complies with state law, certain federal regulations, and perhaps local ordinances depending on the city or the township. And that's where it's imperative that either as a landlord or a tenant, you contact an attorney to make sure that that lease has the correct information and doesn't in fact have something in there that violates one of these either statutes or local ordinances. Now, in the event that there is some type of a dispute that arises between the landlord and the tenant, an eviction may start. This is where the landlord is trying to recover possession of the property and perhaps get a money judgment against the tenant. Now, there are two main types of evictions. The first is where the landlord is saying, I just simply want you out of the property. And that could be either because the lease term has expired, they don't want to renew, or there's been some type of breach of the lease, like perhaps the tenant was doing some type of illegal activity on the premises, or was being disruptive, or causing some type of damage. In the event that that occurred, the landlord could send what's called a notice to quit, termination of tenancy, which is commonly referred to as a 30-day notice. And at the expiration of that 30-day period, if the tenant has not voluntarily moved, then the landlord can file an eviction suit in the district court, which is typically by city or township, that the property is contained in. The other type of eviction is where the tenant has failed to pay rent or some other type of expense that is their responsibility. And in that case, the landlord would give what's called a demand for possession, non-payment of rent. And that's typically referred to as a 7-day notice, meaning it gives the tenant 7 days to pay that which you're supposed to under the lease. And in the event that they do not, the landlord can then file an eviction case. The process for whether it is a 30-day notice or a 7-day notice is pretty much the same, meaning a complaint and a summons is filed at the district court. There's a fee that's paid for the filing fee and for the bailiff fee, and then a process server serves the defendant notice telling him of the date of the hearing. Now, these are summary proceedings, so they move pretty quick, meaning the parties will be in court within a relatively short period of time. And at that summary proceeding, there will be a hearing to determine whether or not the landlord has a right to possession and perhaps a money judgment. The tenant can retain legal counsel and defend themselves. Some common defenses may be that I didn't pay rent because the landlord wasn't keeping the place in reasonable repair. Another defense may be that the landlord is retaliating against me for something that I did, meaning maybe I contacted some third-party agency, state of Michigan, maybe the local building department, to complain about something. The landlord found out about it and retaliated against me. There are a number of different defenses that may be presented to an eviction, and from a landlord's perspective, they may want to retain counsel because there may be legal issues that are beyond a layperson's capability to handle. And also, as a landlord, if you are a corporation or an LLC or any type of company, you cannot represent yourself. You have to have legal counsel. And in the event that the landlord is successful at the hearing, a judgment, an eviction judgment, will be entered, called a judgment of possession, giving the tenant 10 days to vacate. In the event of a non-payment of rent, it gives them 10 days to pay the amount that's due or move. In the event of a termination of tenancy, it simply gives them 10 days to vacate. If the tenant does not vacate within that 10-day period, then, or pay the amount that is due, then the landlord can apply for an order of eviction, commonly referred to as a writ. And this is where the judge signs the order. It goes to the bailiff department, and a bailiff, a court officer, will come out to the property and physically remove the tenant. Landlords are not allowed to engage in self-help, meaning they cannot physically come out to the property themselves and remove the tenant or their belongings. That has to be done through an order, writ, where a court officer comes out. In the event that a landlord does violate that policy, they can be sued and in trouble, be civilly liable to the tenant. And then finally, there's the issue of security deposit, meaning a landlord can retain a security deposit if there's unpaid rent. If there's not unpaid rent, then they have to send out written notice to the tenant stating what damages were occurred to the property. And there are very specific times when the landlord has to send out these notices. If the tenant disputes it, the tenant has to send written notice back within a certain period of time. The tenant must provide forwarding address, et cetera, et cetera. My point is that there's a lot of legal steps involved, and we at Aldrich Legal Services specialize in landlord-tenant relations, and any type of issue that may arise in the inception of the lease or whether or not there is some type of eviction. If you'd like more information, please visit our website or contact us directly for a free consultation.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to take this here a bit further. It is very important for you upon first entering an empty apartment, if you're going to take an apartment or you're going to rent a house from someone, to do what the guy had said. It's very important about the taking inventory before you move anything into that building. Look in there, check the inside, check the ceilings, see if there's any leaks, check the faucet for any leaks or anything. And what you want to do, and this is also very important, if there's a problem that ever arises when you move into a situation where you are renting from someone, you always want to keep records as evidence in the event of any type of a dispute between you and the landlord. If he's refusing to do something, make some type of repairs, because he is responsible. Anytime you're in a renting situation, the landlord is responsible for making the repairs to the property. So therefore, what you need to do is, opposed to calling him on the phone and arguing with him, what we suggest is that you go ahead and write up the complaint as a conditional, informal conditional letter of acceptance, and go ahead and list the problem, and we want to go ahead and notarize that and send it certified mail to him, and keep a copy of that as evidence that you have actually put this complaint down. You've listed, take your little camera, take pictures of the problem if you can. If there's other complaint, list these complaints, and send this record to him, and keep a copy of this record, because all that comes in handy in the event there's a problem between you and your landlord. You have tangible evidence that you submitted this here to him. He may have taken 2 months to respond. All that's in there. So what that does is give the court a good, clear picture of what's really going on between you and the person that you're renting from. It's very, very important, because we always remember the old adage, if there is no evidence, there is no case. Okay? So keep that in mind. We're gonna come back to some more of that. This evening we're going to deal with how to handle letters in the mail from your mortgage companies. How do we handle the fraud? What about the phone calls from mortgage companies? Do I have to respond to a mortgage company by mail? Should we sue the lender? Okay? And this is just some of the stuff that we're going to touch on. We got a lot of information to put down involving this stuff, and it's my job to make sure that you have some type of defense. There are a whole lot of things out here, especially today, in today's economy, that you have to watch out for, especially when you're dealing with homes. If it's a home you're moving in, you're trying to buy a home, you're dealing with a landlord. So we're going to run over a little bit of this so you can see what's out there.
Hi. Douglas Rosenthal with you again of the Rosenthal Law Firm. Today I'd like to talk with you a little bit about an experience I had yesterday in Bronx County Landlord and Tenant Court. I am representing a tenant who the landlord has claimed has not paid rent, and they are looking to evict her based upon a non-payment action. When she first went to court without a lawyer, the attorneys for the landlord claimed that she owed over $6,000 in rent. That clearly was not true. Based upon documents that she had showed me when we first consulted, at most she owed a month's rent, which was under $1,000. When I came into court with her, I advised the other attorney of this situation that I had documents which were signed by the landlord's agent showing that my client owed under $1,000, and my client even disputed that. Well, it was set over for another court appearance, and when we came back to court, the lawyer had contacted his client, the landlord, and acknowledged that, in fact, a total amount of $484 was in dispute. That's a lot different than $6,000+. When I was in court yesterday in the Bronx County Landlord-Tenant Court, another attorney for the landlord came and approached me in an effort to try to resolve the matter. They said that they would waive the $484 amount which they claim was owed, which my client disputes, if my client would leave by the end of July and would pay June and July rent. To me, that sounded like a relatively fair deal. After all, they were saying that we would not demand the $484, which is otherwise in dispute, and she would have an opportunity to leave the apartment, look for a new apartment, and relocate. There was one or two issues, though, that needed to be resolved. The first issue was an issue with regard to repairs. There were significant repairs that needed to be done in the apartment, in particular with regard to leaks that were coming in the bathroom ceiling as well as in the kitchen near the pantry area, and my client wanted those taken care of, and therefore she did not want to agree to simply leave the apartment if there was not going to be any condition for the repairs to be done by a date certain. Therefore, my client demanded that the repairs take place, and she did not want to agree to the landlord's lawyers. In fact, her entire position was that the landlord's lawyers were trying to pressure her, were trying to be so aggressive and trying to show that they can do whatever they want and have it their way all the time, that she told me she did not want to agree even to what seemed to me to be a fairly even-handed and a fairly reasonable settlement. She wanted to take the matter to court. She wanted to go to the judge. Well, let me tell you what happened. The lawyer for the landlord prepared an agreement or a stipulation, thinking that they're not going to go to trial, we'll just accept this agreement, and we'll move on. Well, I read over the stipulation, and I explained it to my client, and she said she would have none of it. I said, okay, I thought she was being a little bit difficult, but, you know, as a lawyer, I must look out for the best interest of my client, and if my client is not interested in that deal, then I'm not going to shove it down her throat, I'm not going to twist her arm and demand that she take a deal that she's not happy with. And I told the lawyer for the other side, no deal, we're going to trial. That's when what I did not expect would happen, in fact, happened. About 3 minutes later, the lawyer said, you know what, we'll just discontinue this action. What does that mean? Essentially, it means my client won. Well, did she win? Maybe she won, maybe she didn't win. This action, which was against her for the $484, in fact, has been discontinued by the landlord. However, it's been discontinued without prejudice. That means that they can bring it again. And they most likely will, because my client's lease has since expired, and now she is what is called a month-to-month tenant, and she lives there at the pleasure of the landlord, and the landlord can send her a 30-day notice to terminate, and thereafter can bring what's called a holdover proceeding, not a non-payment proceeding like the one that we were in court for yesterday, but a holdover proceeding, and we'll be able to take her out of the apartment, and they most probably will also seek to have their legal fees paid in that context. So, was it a win or was it a loss? Yesterday clearly was a win. What will happen in the future remains to be seen. So stay tuned. Remember, this is Douglas Rosenthal for the Rosenthal Law Firm. If you need to reach us for any legal...
Okay, that's very, very interesting how that all played out. But once again, there's still things that we really need to pay attention to. Anytime you're going to rent from someone, or someone has something to rent, it doesn't matter if it's a room, you always want to check out the landlord. Do your homework. Check them out. Find out how they have dealt with other people. They are a good landlord or a bad landlord? What kind of landlord you got? So that way you can stop protecting yourself very, very early.
Now to an A-News investigation and exclusive details of allegations that a landlord rented out the same suite in a Saanich home to several people. The tenants say they each paid several hundred dollars in damage deposits, but days before they were supposed to move in, the tenants say they were told the apartment was no longer available. That's when A-News reporter Stephen Andrew began looking into the story. He joins us now with the details. Stephen?
Eric, our investigation led us to the Saanich home where the suite is located several times today. And late this afternoon, as our cameras were there, police arrived and took a woman into custody. The Saanich landlord is arrested after investigators say she tried to rent the same apartment to several tenants. Anne-Marie Alexander says she is one of those tenants. She's now getting ready to move. The trouble is she doesn't know where that will be. Looking to save money on rent, she went on the website Craigslist to find a new home.
We thought, wow, this looks great. And I emailed her back and said that we'd like to see it.
These are pictures that Charmaine Roy, the landlord of the suite, sent to Alexander. At $800 a month, she thought her prayers were answered. She even gave notice on her current apartment at the end of November.
She emailed me back and said, well, since you're a single mom, I'll hold it for you. You can come and look at it. then that would be great. So that's what we did.
Anne-Marie Alexander says she met Charmaine Roy here at this Saanich Starbucks, where the two completed a rental agreement, and she paid her future landlord a $400 deposit on the apartment. She says shortly after that, things began to go wrong.
She says, oh, I'm really sorry, I forgot to contact you and let you know that they're not moving out until the 31st. And so you won't be able to move until the 31st.
Days before she moved in, Alexandra says she received this email saying one of the tenants had committed suicide and the apartment is considered a crime scene and is under investigation. But when we went to the Saanich house this morning, there was no crime tape up, and as for the investigation...
The Saanich police can confirm that there has not been a suicide at this residence.
Has there been any investigation of any kind of death there?
No, not at this time.
So I put an ad on Craigslist saying our arrangements fell through due to tragic circumstances. And within about 10 minutes, I had a phone call.
One of those was from a young couple in Montreal who said they paid landlord Charmaine Roy $425 deposit, putting it into her bank account. We asked landlord Charmaine Roy this morning how she could rent out the same apartment more than once.
You've rented the same apartment also to a Natalie and a Matt in Montreal. Can you explain that, ma'am? Can you explain why you had the deposit money in your Toronto Dominion account, ma'am? Can you explain why you've rented this house to several people?
No, I didn't rent. I've rented the apartment, and I have upstairs as well.
But this is the apartment that you have rented to Anne-Marie Alexander, and you've also rented...
I know, but I canceled it as well.
But you've also rented... So where's their money?
That's what I'm doing.
Where is their money?
That's what I'm doing right now.
Well, can they have their money today? Do you have their money right now?
I have Anne-Marie. She's calling me back.
Well, no, she's not. She said that you said you were going to Vancouver and that you were going to FedEx it to her. So why can't she have her money today?
Because she can't.
Do you have the money?
No.
Later, Charmaine Roy called us begging us not to air the story. She admitted she rented the apartment to three different people, saying it was a miscommunication. And she thought one of the tenants would back out, even though she acknowledged she had signed rental agreements and deposits. Roy said she was at the bank at that moment getting the tenant's money. Charmaine Roy says she is not a bad person and wants to clear the situation up. But before she has a chance to talk to the tenants, now without a place to live, Saanich police say they have a few questions for her first. Saanich police say the 49-year-old woman they arrested this afternoon at that house will be held in jail overnight for an appearance in court tomorrow morning to face multiple fraud charges. Now, if you have more information on this story, you can contact us at atv.ca through our website there or the 1-800 number that you see on your screen. As for the tenants, though, Eric, that say they have no place to live, Anne-Marie Alexander, while looking for her own home, is also looking for apartments for them as well, especially that couple from Montreal. You can reach her at amalexander@live.ca, Eric.
Any advice, Stephen, for people looking for an apartment using Craigslist?
You know, they did everything absolutely correct. They checked out the apartment. They visited her there. They made sure that they got a signed rental agreement. There's nothing more police say that they could have done.
Stephen Andrew reporting. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Okay. That's kind of hard to believe that someone would stoop to that level. But in this day and time in this economy, you have to be very careful. I just had some people move out a house down the street from me, and I got a chance to talk to the guy. He said he was moving out because he was getting light bills, $300 and $400 light bills, and he said that the rent was enormous. And when he told me that, the amount he was paying for rent, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, he was forced to move out of the place. And I asked him, had he done any background check on the guy that he rented from? He told me, no, they didn't do anything. The guy seemed like a pretty nice guy and yada-da-da-da. But you can't go on that. You got to do your homework because we are talking about your hard-earned money. We're talking about a roof over your head and a place for you and your family to reside, and so therefore it behooves you to check out and qualify your landlord before giving them any money, before moving in. If you're buying a home and you're looking at a house to buy, the first thing you want to do is spend some time in the community. You want to talk to the little old lady that's watching you across the street. because she knows all the ins and outs of what's going on with the house. The people next door, you want to talk to them because they'll know if there's a problem, because if there's anybody that previously lived in the house, they're more than likely they discussed it with them if they were friends with their neighbors. So your neighbors are good people to talk to in the whole community all the way around the house. And that way you have some extra leverage on information, and then you go and get on your computer and go ahead and check them out. Okay? So now we're going on to the next segment. We still have some more to deal with on our tenants and stuff. But now let's take a look at the banks, and let's see what kind of role the banks is playing and what's going on with that, okay?
When was the last time you checked out your bank account or your home loan? And we mean really checked it out. Only on Fox Tonight, Isaiah Carey talked with one Houston man who did just that and found what he calls outrageous behavior by a major bank. Isaiah.
Well, Melinda, that man not only hired his own accountant to go through his bank records with a fine-tooth comb, he filed a lawsuit when he says he realized he was being taken to the bank by the bank. Owning this house for Long Wen was supposed to be part of the American dream. He says it turned into a nightmare.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Long says in 2001 he refinanced his Tomball home at Bank of America.
Previously, we have a 30-year mortgage loan, but when we go with Bank of America, we refinance the house into the 15-year loan.
According to these court documents, Wen was scheduled to pay $643 bimonthly on his $130,000 loan to refinance. That would have paid off the house in 2016. Now, to ensure there was no interruption in payments, Wen also signed up for Bank of America's auto withdrawal service. The bank would take the money out of his account twice a month on the due date. Wen says that did not happen.
What they did is they intentionally, whatever the reason is, you know, they withdraw the money, the funds, from our checking account 2, 3, 4 days after the due date.
So why is that important? According to the lawsuit, Wen had a simple interest account. That means every time the money is not deducted on the due date, more of his payment goes to interest rather than principal. Records show that alleged technique by Bank of America cost Wen $9,000 in interest, and that's when he filed a lawsuit. We showed Wen's paperwork to Houston accountant Bob Martin.
Well, if the money was available and the terms of the agreement said that the money should have been taken out of the account, then he is being charged additional interest here.
Wen also says he uncovered more issues with his loan after receiving a new interest rate. Financial records show he was hit with new terms he says he was never notified about, like owing the bank an additional $137,000 on the original $130,000 loan. And his payoff date went from 2016 to 2029. Documents show Bank of America tried to settle with Wen, offering him his house free and clear. He rejected it.
I feel like, you know, Bank of America have do something really wrong to me and maybe to the public. So I want to send a clear message to everybody.
Wen has hired a new attorney to find others who may have encountered the same type of accounting.
He wanted to send the message to help a lot of people who are not aware of the problems that they may have.
Bank of America issued this statement. Because we consider customer relationships to be confidential and this is active litigation, we cannot comment on the specifics of this issue. Mr. Wen is a valued customer, and we have been working with him to resolve what is a very fact-specific dispute. And in an unrelated but similar case, Bank of America just settled a $400 million class action lawsuit in Florida. Their customers claimed their bank accounts were manipulated by Bank of America so the bank could get more fees and overdraft charges. In the newsroom, Isaiah Carey, Fox 26.
Okay. I was a part of that particular lawsuit that happened here in Florida. Bank of America, what they was doing, have your money in an automatic deposit from your paycheck. And if you ever got, you run late or something, you didn't, what they would do is they would run your your debit, and they were running two or three times before your check hit the bank, and then by the time it hit the bank, you're missing a couple of $100 from your check because they don't just run it, and even though they know your check hit the bank at the same time every week, but they would run a debit on your account over and over and over, and they're doing this type of practice to thousands of people. But they got caught, and they got sued. And so keep your eyes open for that. And it's the same thing involving your mortgage as well. Something very, very important to remember. If you are in your home or you're renting from someone and you've done your investigation, you want to find out if this particular company here or your landlord have other properties. And if so, you want to find out where these properties are. You want to go over there and talk to the other tenants. And if you're filing a lawsuit, you'll get much, much better results, and things will happen a lot, lot faster if you go through all, as many tenants as you can find and create it. Go ahead and get the names and address, tell them you're suing, and you want to make them a part of this class action lawsuit. And then you get the names and the addresses and stuff and put them on there and have them sign it. And that way, when it's time to sue, you're not in this thing alone. You got other people who are dissatisfied with the same landlord or the same mortgage company and tenant. The class action lawsuit is very, very powerful, and that's the best way to go at this thing. Also, anytime you get something from a mortgage company in the mail, and this is very, very important, never ignore it. When you get it, go ahead on, and the first thing you want to notice on that letter that's coming to you throughout the entire process from start to finish is if they have your name and address and all that in capital letters, go ahead and please ask them to refrain from regarding you as a fictitious entity. You're not a corporation. You're not invisible. You're not dead. You're a living, breathing being. Please spare your name as a proper noun in upper and lowercase letters and make a notation of that. Attach it to the letter. Make copies of it. Attach it to the letter, and go ahead and send that to them, and keep that in your records throughout the entire process when you are in the property, because what they're doing is they are charging the fiction, they're not charging you, and if they're not willing to acknowledge the fact that you exist, then we need a record of that so that the courts can look at the fact that you have denied the fiction throughout the entire process. That's very, very important, okay? So anytime you get your mortgage note come through the mail or whatever, and you want to always remember you want to keep evidence, because we got a lot of people that's paying all their bills online, and they don't run off a copy of this, that, and the other. There's no way to show proof of any problems that's going on because everything is automatic. So you might want to slow that thing down and consider having them send us this stuff in the mail. And when you're dealing with telephone calls, you want to record your calls. Make sure that if they're asking you if you're such and such a person, this is an attempt to collect a debt, you want to stop them right there and let them know that this is being recorded. Could you please identify yourself and make it known to them that you're not the fiction? And make sure you get all that on their recording device, and make sure you have it on your recording device as well. This is a two-way street here. They are trying to provide you with something, and you're trying to use it. So you want to make sure that everything that they're able to come in the courtroom with as a litigant, you're also a litigant as well. It's very important also for those of you who have a library. You're working on your estate letter, you might want to go ahead and send your mortgage company a copy of that. Make sure that all further correspondence from them comes to that estate. And please be kind enough to refer to you minus the fiction. Okay? All right. Now, let's deal with something that's very, very important that we have to understand about the country before we go any further. Okay?
Not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. With those words, our founders very, very, very wisely and appropriately, many, many years ago, put into being the nation that we now know as the United States of America. A federal government in Washington, now 50 states. But before there was ever a federal government, there were sovereign individual states. The Constitution very, very clearly recognizes that we are a republic. We are properly a confederated republic, meaning that we have as individual states the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the state of Ohio, the Republic of Texas, are organized, each having their own constitution, with their own sets of law and responsibilities to the citizens who live within those states, voluntarily come together and agree to operate together for the betterment of the public good, hence the United States of America. But over time, over the last many generations, the federal government, seeking to grow as it most governments tend to grow, have become increasingly involved in activities that have been reserved to the states, being involved in such things as education or health care, or for that matter, even highways and roads. A great many things the federal government has increasingly passed laws, appropriated tax dollars, which are yours and mine, and attempted to force the states to implement laws for which then the federal government essentially has control. So,
well, today is the 20th of August, and more interesting news in the saga that has been my life. I was at Walmart tonight, and I just happened to run into some former people that I used to live with in the place that I lived in before I moved here now. Well, I never really told this story, but middle of April, I got a knock on my door one morning, and it was my landlord who told me that the place was being foreclosed on and that I was going to have to move. And at the time, I was like, okay. And so I talked to him and I asked him, well, is there any chance that you have saving the place? And he said, he doesn't know. And I'm like, well, that's not good enough for me. It's got to be 100%. And he's like, well, no, that's, I can't say that. So I found a place that I'm in now, and I moved out. That's a very short version of that story. And it turns out there was a lot more behind the scenes going on than I ever thought. Tonight, actually about an hour and a half ago, I was grocery shopping. I got done with work. We had primary elections today, and I was working late. Went grocery shopping, got back. Well, I got done there and went grocery shopping, and I just happened to run into these two people, and they told me that the sheriff had come over to their place. I'm trying to think here, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, probably Friday night. I'm assuming it was Friday night from what they told me, and they served eviction notices that they were all going to have to move. And the story goes even deeper than that. And it all has to do with my landlord, and he was a nice guy. I'll give him that. He was nice, but, there was just a little something, that you just quite couldn't put your finger on. It really didn't seem to make much sense. And at the time, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I asked him on many occasions, what was up, and he never really gave me a straight answer. Well, I find out tonight from these two tenants here that they got a letter from a lawyer. And so they got a hold of this lawyer, and the lawyer told them that the guy who was renting this place was more or less a con artist, and that he didn't own the property, and that he was more or less squatting there, and that the real owners of the property have been fighting for the past 2 years to get him kicked out. Well, what can I say? I will admit that I was had, and so many of us have been had, and I paid, I would say, about $2,400 to this guy, $2,400 that he should have never gotten. Now, I don't know the exact details of all that's happened yet, other than what I was told at the grocery store, so I don't know the legitimacy of any of this yet, but they did tell me where this lawyer is, and I plan on seeing him either tomorrow or Thursday when I have off of work. And I also found out that he has warrants out for his arrest, so as soon as the cops can get into his place, he will be going to jail. And it's quite interesting here in Wyoming, at least, it seems as if you're outside of your house, the cops can go and get you, but if you're inside your house, the cops really can't do much of anything unless they get a warrant, even if they have probable cause to bring you in for something. So I don't know how that's going to shape out. But no, what else? What else? What else? What else? What else? Oh yeah. Well, I have been getting mail.
Okay. Once again, there's all kind of things going on out there, so y'all have to be very, very careful. And I'm trying to post this stuff so you'll know what could possibly happen inside this country when you think you're involved in a right transaction. You're giving somebody your money in attempt to move in a place and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are offering our free articles, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game this evening. That's absolutely free. Go ahead and send me an email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I'll get that to you in as an email attachment. Also, the library is available. We've created one of the most comprehensive libraries in the country, and there's remedies in there and information on your mortgage and stuff and how to deal with it from different angles and how to get yourself set. Where in the event there is a problem, you would have some type of defense or something to work with. And there's a whole lot of different things available to you in this library. And the way you access it is to contact me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061, and we'll get you in there.
If there was a legal way to demand your mortgage lender reduce your principal balance to 80% of the current value of your home and reduce your interest rate to 2% fixed over 30 years, would you be interested? Of course you would. And what if I told you that there is a way to accomplish this and that you don't actually have to be late or behind on payments to qualify? But if you are behind on payments and currently in foreclosure, it can help you also. Well, the solution is not what you might think. It is not a loan modification. Loan modifications are dead. They don't work today because banks don't want them to work. And as you will quickly learn from reviewing all the news videos and reports listed at the bottom of this site, the entire loan modification process is quickly being discovered to be one of the greatest scams ever perpetrated by banks on American homeowners. And just to give you an example with Bank of America alone, it's estimated that just over 1 million homeowners with Bank of America qualify for a permanent loan modification. Yet the bank, after taking billions in bailout money and stalling homeowners for several months, has approved fewer than 12,000 permanent modifications. So if you're thinking about doing a loan modification to get relief today, your odds of success are extremely low. Banks are all about making money and not about helping you. The solution is litigation. Stop playing games and wasting time trying to work with a corrupt lender that doesn't want to help you. If you want to save your home and protect your financial future, you need to sue your mortgage lender. And thousands of homeowners across the country who are fed up with all the games are doing just that. They are suing their mortgage lenders to save their homes. And it's not just homeowners. The attorneys general of several states are also suing the lenders, and you can see videos below that detail that. And the good news for you is that you can do it too. There are tens of thousands of homeowners that are banding together in class action lawsuits to fight the banks and save their homes. And homeowners are winning, and all indications are they will prevail in the end and save their home. If 2010 was the year of the loan mod, you could say that 2011 is shaping up to be the year of the lawsuit against your lender. It seems that lawsuits are the only thing banks seem to understand and respond to today. So if you want to get relief and save your home, you're going to have to sue your mortgage lender. And this is not as difficult as it might seem. Now, sure, if you were to go it all alone, all by yourself, and have to hire your own attorney, it would be extremely expensive. But fortunately, you don't have to do that. You can join an existing class action lawsuit with thousands of other plaintiff homeowners and pay just a few thousand dollars and still get the same relief. Essentially, you would be sharing the cost of lengthy litigation with thousands of other homeowners just like you, which in the end makes going up against your bank affordable. The days of trying to mitigate and negotiate with your bank to get a loan mod are over. If you want to save your home, you need to litigate. You need to sue your mortgage lender. Banks will continue to do nothing until they are sued and a judge forces them to do it. And here is the main problem for you if you own a home today. Average home values across the country have plummeted 26% from their peak in 2006 and are projected to drop another 10 to 20% by the end of 2011 and into 2012. And in some parts of the country, the declines are much higher, upwards of 50% by now. So it's not getting any better. In fact, Zillow.com, one of the largest web-based valuation companies of home values, recently reported that home value declines in the United States have already surpassed those of the Great Depression era. But nobody's reporting that. The other problem that you face is that despite all the spin masters that tell you that the values will come back, I'm here to tell you that values, the values that you saw in the peak of 2006 on your home, those values are never coming back. They will, your value of your home will never get back to where it was in 2006. And it's going to be at least 7 to 10 years or probably longer before you begin to see any appreciable gains in your home value. So the bottom line is you're pretty much stuck in the loan that you have now, and you're stuck in the payment that you have now. And if you owe more on your home than it's worth today, you're not going to be able to sell it without doing a short sale. And 50% of short sales wind up in foreclosure simply because the buyers out there can't get financing, they can't get mortgages because banks are not lending. So a short sale is really not a solution. And loan mods have proven that they don't work. So what is your solution to get some relief and save your home? If you can't afford your payment, you're upside down on your home by 50%, what is your solution? Well, the solution is litigation. You must sue your lender for relief. This is the only way to get them to help you today. And the relief that is being demanded is that your bank reduce your principal balance to 80% of the current value and drop your interest rate to 2% permanently. And if they do this, you settle the lawsuit with your lender. And if your lender doesn't do it, you simply continue to litigate and let a judge decide. Either way, you are fighting back to win, and you stand a much greater chance of saving your home through litigation than trying to negotiate with a clueless customer service bank representative and you get nowhere. So if you're tired of your lender playing games with you, installing your request for a loan modification, now is the time to litigate. Stop wasting your time trying to negotiate with a corrupt bank that has no intention of helping you. Unless you sue your mortgage lender today, they will most likely stall you out forever until you get so far behind you can't catch up and you ultimately lose your home to foreclosure. It's happening. It's happening to hundreds of thousands of homeowners across the country right now. So you have to take action now. We can show you how you can join one of these class action lawsuits to save your home and protect your financial future. And if you're behind on payments or currently in foreclosure, this can help you. But you don't need to be behind on payments to sue your mortgage lender for relief. Review the news information, the videos, and the reports that we've listed below, and then to learn more how you can save money by joining an existing class action lawsuit to fight back against your lender and win and save your home, please fill out the form below, and one of our representatives will contact you personally for a free consultation. It will cost you absolutely nothing to speak with us. I thank you so much for taking the time. Review all the information that we have below. I wish you all the best of success and good luck.
Okay. There's one other thing that you can do as well. If you own a home, you can get online and find your mortgage company, the company that's holding your mortgage, if it is a company, a bank, or what have you, and find out who's suing them. Find out what's the latest news on them. And that information is listed right there. You can go ahead and Google that, and you can also get it that way as well. Don't forget to send for your free articles to taraka99@yahoo.com, and I will go ahead and get that to you. That's taraka99@yahoo.com. We'll rush that to you as quickly as possible.
In foreclosure, the bank has to show it owns your house. But what most people don't know is that almost half the time, the banks don't have the paperwork to prove it in court. In many cases, it ends up lost or destroyed. It's a national problem the banks would love to keep quiet, because knowing that could be your best defense in fighting foreclosure.
Everything's all right until I refinance.
Like many homeowners, Jackie O'Brien is behind on her mortgage. She bought her house near Clearwater, Florida in 2004, but in 2007, fell behind on her payments following a death in the family.
I'd returned to England, and I was sort of giving support to family members and things like this. And when I came back to America, I was in default with my mortgage. I was behind with my payment.
She says she tried on several occasions to catch up on her payments with her bank, Wachovia. She showed us a photocopy of one catch-up payment for $8,500, but the bank wouldn't accept it and is foreclosing on her property.
They wouldn't take your payments after that?
No, they wouldn't take my payments. That was it. No more. They didn't even want to talk to me.
But in foreclosure, she discovered the bank filed a motion for lost instruments. In other words, the bank lost or destroyed the actual proof that it owns her house.
I think the note has been sold on so many times, and they've become very sloppy with their paperwork. It could be on a dumpster somewhere, for all I know.
A bank losing a mortgage note may sound like a rare occurrence, but a recent study by law professor Catherine Porter found it happens nearly half the time.
What I found is that banks failed to attach a copy of the promissory note, that is the evidence that the consumer owes the debt, in 40% of the situations. So 4 out of 10 consumers were being asked by their bank to make payments on a mortgage, but the bank didn't provide the evidence to establish what those debts were.
And last November, a federal court ruled against Deutsche Bank and stopped them from foreclosing on 14 houses until they could produce the note. Those foreclosures are still in limbo.
If your case ends up in court, don't let the mortgage companies off easy. Make them produce the note.
Chris Hoyer is a Tampa attorney who's on the internet with a free website that teaches people how to fight foreclosure. He thinks people should fight, not for a free house, but for a better deal.
If you're about to lose your home, at least make them produce the note. Make them prove, first, that they have the note, the IOU, and second, that the person who's standing in court is a person authorized by the owner to take your home.
And that's just what Jackie O'Brien is planning to do.
I'd like to know who actually owns my mortgage. I'd like to know who I can deal with. I'm going to make them produce the note.
She says the bank is pressing on with foreclosure and won't agree on a catch-up payment. In addition, she says they keep tacking on fees.
The only way that they will do it is that if I pay them something like $20,000 in fees and things. They want me to pay all these extra fees that they've thrown in on top.
Catherine Porter says excessive and unnecessary fees are also a national trend.
The most disturbing thing we saw was that most banks simply don't tell consumers what these fees are for. So we saw thousands of dollars of charges that were labeled as other or miscellaneous. And so consumers have no way to know if, in fact, those fees are legitimate.
We contacted Wachovia to ask about the case, and they said, due to customer privacy concerns, we cannot give specifics into pending customer actions, but we will work with customers through the delinquency and foreclosure process to keep them in their homes.
O'Brien says if the bank can't find her note, they should renegotiate a new mortgage without the fees and payments she can afford.
I want to pay. I'm not looking for a free ride or anything. I want to pay my mortgage. I want to get my life back on track.
O'Brien goes to court soon to find out how long she'll stay in her house. Attorney Chris Hoyer says if you get a foreclosure notice, you should get an attorney and find out when and where your foreclosure court date is. Do not just abandon your property and move out. For CNNMoney.com, I'm Greg Hunter.
Okay. Once again, we run into the same situation that we had discussed earlier about the banks putting all of these mortgages in one big bucket and chopping them up and selling them in bulk and all of this stuff, just pure greed. And so just go ahead and ask them to produce the note. You know, just the same three magic words we started off with at the beginning of this broadcast. Could you please provide us with a copy of the note? It's just that simple.
Can I walk away from my house? And the answer to that really depends on whether or not you live in a state that has either anti-deficiency or one-action rule legislation. Now, the one-action rule states that a bank has an option of one action. That one action is to either foreclose and take the house or sue you in a lawsuit to collect money. There are six states in which these one action rules exist. Now, in addition to the one action rule, there is special legislation called anti-deficiency legislation. The anti-deficiency legislation essentially is that it prohibits banks from suing in addition to foreclosing. Now, there are 12 states that have enacted this anti-deficiency legislation. And this legislation, if you fall within the specific legislative guidelines, prevents a bank from suing you on your promise to pay your mortgage. What it basically says is that the bank has the right to foreclose, but does not have the right to sue you. Now, in those cases where anti-deficiency legislation or one-action rules exist, you will be entitled to walk away from your house without any lawsuit or any personal liability in connection with your loan. So therefore, if you have a $500,000 loan and you walk away from it, the bank cannot sue you for $500,000. Their sole and complete remedy is to foreclose on the house. It's important to note, however, that there are a number of states in which neither the one action rule or the anti-deficiency rules exist. And so in those states, if you walk away from your house, the bank can sue you on the loan. So it's very, very important that you know whether or not you live in a state where there is anti-deficiency rules and or the one action rule. In addition to that, you need to know whether or not your particular loan falls within the parameters of the enactment. What I mean by that is, even if you live in a state such as the state of California, which passed both a one-action rule and anti-deficiency legislation, if your loan does not fall within the specific guidelines of these consumer protection laws, then the bank can sue you. For example, many HELOCs, and in fact, most of the HELOCs that I have seen in the past 30 years do not fall within the anti-deficiency legislation or the one-action rule. With that said, it is important to note that you must analyze the specific loan documents to see if they're as a guarantee, if it is a purchase money loan. There are other requirements, whether it relates to residential property, actually some of these rules.
To look at a loan modification and determine whether or not it's actually going to be successful, you have to understand a little bit about the formula and how it works. It has very little to do with your other debt-to-income ratio. It has more to do specifically with your gross income and the formula that the bank uses. That formula essentially is this. Take your gross income, whatever it happens to be, of course that's before tax income, take that times 0.31%, divide that number by 12, and that will probably tell you what your new mortgage payment will be, or a very close approximation. Now, if that new number is less than the current mortgage payment that you've got, you may be a good candidate for a modification, and it may actually fix your problem. But you have to know enough about your own personal finances to determine that. So as an example, I had a client recently come to me. He said he desperately needed a loan modification. This is a gentleman with a wife and four children. He says, I can't afford to make my mortgage payments. My mortgage payments are $1,500 a month. Todd, I desperately need your help to help you help me modify my loan. And I say, okay, great. So tell me, what is your gross income? He says, my wife earns about $25,000 a year. That's her gross income. My gross income is $40,000 a year. Okay, so let's take the formula. We've got $65,000 per year. We take that number times 0.31%. We divide that number by 12, and that turns out to be $1,680 or some odd close approximation to that. And I said, look, you're probably not going to get a loan modification. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't try.
Okay, now, remember what we found out earlier about the banks and loan modifications today. They are not involved in trying to get that out because the banks are just simply in this thing to make money. Okay? Now, the next segment that we're going to post, this is it's short, but it's very, very interesting. So pay very close attention.
Hi, I'm Richard Kessler. I'd like to talk to you about Cancel the Mortgage Now. There's absolutely nothing like it. What it does is give the bank a darn good reason to negotiate with you instead of foreclosing on your house. Right now, in most cases, when the bank files, there's absolutely no reason, the bank has nothing to lose, why they should negotiate an alternate dispute resolution. Cancel the Mortgage Now creates a cloud on title. What that means is it makes the property, if taken in foreclosure, difficult to resell. A future buyer will find it next to impossible to get financing or title insurance. Consequently, it says to the lender, if you go ahead and foreclose on my property, you're going to wind up with a property you can't resell. Let's you and I work this out like sensible people. It's easy to use. It does not require the participation of any court. It's outside the jurisdiction of the foreclosure court. No, you don't need a lawyer in order to use this, and it is virtually cost-free to use. It's so easy to use, it only really involves two documents, each of which we give you complete instructions how to fill it out. You have the information because it's about your property and your property alone. You fill it in. You get the one document notarized. You file it locally in the land records of your particular county. That's it. Now you're ready to negotiate with the bank. Good luck, and go get your copy of Cancel the Mortgage Now.
Thank you for calling VAC Home Loan Servicing LP. Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance.
Home Loan Servicing AJ speaking. Give me 1 second while I go ahead and access the account.
Okay.
Alrighty, Max, I'm speaking with.
Carol.
Chelsea's a normal loan status. Notice of intent to accelerate. The foreclosure expired September 8th. Will expire September 8th, 2010. And the total amount due is $25,937.43. And are we able to pay the total amount due at this time?
No.
Alright, are we calling to make a payment?
Pardon me? No. I actually want to ask about this, why I've gotten the notice of intent to accelerate since I'm still being in review for a modification.
Okay. Collection activity and credit reporting will still continue. If you're in review, I can go ahead and take a look, tell you the status, and if
okay.
we have any updates.
So let me see if I understand this. You could foreclose on someone while still trying to decide whether or not you're going to modify their loan.
No, you wouldn't be foreclosed on, no.
Okay.
No, you wouldn't.
All right.
Foreclosed on. Okay, give me one second. Let me go ahead and take a look at the status. The property is occupied, correct?
Yes.
All right. And it just shows you the reason of default is marital difficulties. Is that correct?
Right.
And the property is homeowner occupied and it's not for rental purposes.
Correct.
It shows even on the 6th of August, several attempts have been made to get current documents and have been unsuccessful. Third party have been asking to work out where it's closed. It was changed to cancel because we didn't receive the financials back. So it's not in review.
That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Oh, I'm so frustrated. I sent everything two different times, and I sent it to Jeremy Field, and then somebody named Kevin spoke to me saying he never got the information, asked me who I sent them to and the phone number that I sent them to, and he told me he was going to check with Jeremy and get the documents, and he would get back to me. And then he's never gotten back to me. And before, when I spoke to somebody, I was told that they did get the documents.
To be honest, it's not in review at this point. Several attempts have been made to get current documents. This is wrong.
I faxed them on time to the number that I was given. I mean, I don't understand how Bank of America can. It's just crap. Like, so due to Bank of America's incompetence yet again, a customer suffers. I just don't get it. I did what I was asked to do. And then when I called and followed up, I was told that they did receive the documents. I think, I just really think that you try to frustrate customers to the point of giving up and just walking away from their homes. Because every step of the way, for the past 16 months, I've done everything that was asked of me. And yet, I'm constantly on the phone arguing with somebody about this.
Okay, and it shows here from the authorized party, Karen Ann, call for the borrower saying that they requested docs. Because it's showing here, it's even showing on the 6th, several attempts have been made to get current docs and have been unsuccessful. Third party angry that they've been asked for a canceling work order. So it was basically that we were speaking with the third party also. They were aware. Are you the third party? You are the third party, correct?
Apparently. I don't know who else it would be.
Correct. So it shows here that we needed those. We even, like I said, we spoke with you on August the 6th. At that time, it was canceled.
No. I called Kevin on August the 6th and asked what the hell was going on because I got yet another letter saying that they were requesting documents. And that's when he told me he was checking with Jeremy to get the documents that I had faxed. Asked me for the fax number, asked me for the guy's name, told me he'd call me back once he got the documents. Nobody contacted me. I keep calling there. As a matter of fact, I left yet another voicemail message for him yesterday. I mean, do you really think I'm going to go through this process for 16 months and then not send the documents in? It just doesn't even make any sense. Like, I'm going to fight this wonderful process this long and then just quit. I don't even get it because I got a letter saying fax these documents to this person at this number, and that's what I did. And then I have an entirely different person saying, hey, I never got the documents. Well, why would you? I was never told to send them to you. I have the letter right in front of me to send it to Jeremy.
As I stated, it is.
Well, so you can tell me all you want that it's canceled. Somebody needs
okay.
to fix it because it's not my fault that it's been canceled because I did what I was told to do. I mean, you can't tell me, well, you know, Bank of America screwed up, so now it's canceled, can't help you. It's just not going to go down that way. So somebody else needs to talk to me because it needs to be fixed.
The way that it's going to be fixed is to resubmit the information.
Okay, why doesn't somebody go to Jeremy and get the documents that I faxed him then two different times? I just don't even understand it. Does anybody speak to anybody else there at all?
Yes, we do.
Well, I mean, how hard is it to call this guy and say, hey, where's the documents that this person sent? And why is it weeks later and I don't get a phone call back from the guy who said he was going to do that? And I'm sorry to go off on you. It's just ridiculous.
No problem.
This is, you know, 16 months I've been doing this. And every step of the way, it's been a fight.
What we can do, we'll have to update the financials and send it back over. If the financials are the same.
The financials are the same.
Any HOA or condo fees, home association fees or condo fees?
No.
All right. How many people are in the household?
Five.
And then what we have to do, we have any automobile payments?
No.
Any collection accounts paying on?
No.
Bar? Okay, credit cards?
No.
All right. So based on the information we have discussed, there are not any treatment options available for the account?
Pardon me, I'm sorry.
This is based on the treatment options of home. This is based on your financial information. We have discussed there are not any treatment options available for the account. It shows if the financial situation changes, the context of further discount. So, sorry about that. If your financial situation changes, please context to further discuss the options. But I didn't even confirm. Let me confirm the income. Give me just 1 second. Employment, biweekly, other incomes.
Yeah, but they told me that that couldn't be counted because it won't last for however long, however many months.
Okay. And then
yeah.
That's the gross and the net?
Yep.
Alrighty, 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
It's still saying, based on the financial information we have discussed, there are not any treatment options available for the account.
How was I given a modified mortgage payment based on that than 16 months ago? It just doesn't even make any sense. I swear to God. And what are you trying to do anyway? Like reopen it from the beginning?
Yes.
So I don't understand any of this. What has been going on the last 16 months then with my file? I mean, I don't understand what the point of all of that was. There was never any conclusion there. I mean, I went through all of that essentially for nothing, you're saying. Oh, my God. Why wouldn't they just reopen the one that had been going on for 16 months instead of starting from the beginning?
Okay, since we didn't receive the documentation, since it shows that, that's what we have to go ahead and reapply.
No, because somebody did receive them. And they received them on time. And you can't penalize a customer because of a screw-up in at Bank of America. It just doesn't even make any sense. I was told by the document that I'm looking at that I had to send them to Jeremy by the 23rd of July. I sent them in on the 22nd. I have them sitting in front of me. I have the fax paper that it was sent. So, no, I'm sorry. I mean, it's crap. You can't tell somebody, oh, sorry, you lose, even though you did exactly what we told you to do, and now you have to just suffer the consequences. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Is there a manager or somebody possibly that I could speak to?
To be honest, they'll still have to... So I have to resubmit the thing.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk to your manager because I'm going to tell them what exactly is going to happen right now. Because I've already spoken to my local congresswoman, and they've asked me to send all of the supporting documentation. And I have hours of audio recordings through the last 16 months, you know, with contradiction after contradiction and with just incompetence galore. And everything that I was told to do, I did. And yet I was constantly giving the incorrect information. And what's happening is I'm having to pay for Bank of America's screw-up.
Yeah, but I'm still showing on here on August 6th that several attempts have been made to get current docs and have been unsuccessful. So then said third party says angry because they have been asked for it again.
August 4th and 5th, you said? We already discussed the fact that I spoke to Kevin on the 6th. So don't tell me there's been several attempts.
And then even July 21st, informing the authorized party, sending a request to add for we request the documents in the states that they're already sent before. Party says they would not send the documents.
Yeah, except for then I did. And I have that conversation on recording,
okay,
too.
Okay, and that's the reason why.
No. It can't be the reason why, because I have that conversation recorded. At the end of the conversation, I told her I would send them, and I would be sending them now, and this is the number that I would be sending them to. And as I said, I sent it on the 20. July 22nd, I have them sitting right in front of me, a huge stack of paper that I sent to Jeremy. And the deadline wasn't until the 23rd, so I don't even care what happened in the conversation on the 21st. My deadline wasn't until the 23rd, and I sent them before that.
All right. Give me one second. Sean here is giving me what I still have to do is do some debt counseling. It says rent a lease to a room or obtain a second job or even ask for assistance from like a nonprofit organization. What it shows here, it is shows that it is canceled at this time.
Okay, I hear that, but somebody needs to fix that because it's because of something that happened there that caused that problem, not because your customer didn't do what they were asked to do. I'm not going to accept that it was canceled because somebody there screwed up. I'm not. I'm not just going to walk away and go, oh, gee, I did what I was supposed to do, but oh well. Yeah, it's just not going to happen because it should have been handled there. I faxed it to the freaking number I was given. I faxed it to the number, to the person, with all of the little notes on the top that I was supposed to put on there by the due date. So I want to know, aside from me personally going to Texas and physically handing it to somebody, what was I supposed to do? I did exactly the directions on this letter. I'm telling you, somebody needs to fix it because it should never have been canceled in the first place.
Okay, give me one second. Well, the only thing I can do, I can do escalation. I can do that for you.
Oh, God, yeah, I've had people do that before. Yeah.
No, this is when you're denied and you're basically debating, the reason why.
That's how I got here right now. They escalated it last time.
Okay. And they escalate, so... And it's showing that it's canceled at this time.
Is there, like I said, a manager or somebody that I can speak to?
I could let you speak with someone since you're requesting. It's not a problem. Give me one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind if I place you on the...
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. You're calling Bank of America. My name is Chris, and I'm a supervisor in home retention. Who am I speaking with?
Carol.
How are you today, ma'am?
I've been better. The representative I was just speaking to said that my modification had been canceled due to not receiving documentation, but I sent the documentation, and I sent it on time. It was due July 23rd. I sent it July 22nd to the person on the letter, to the phone number on the letter. And then on August 6th, I spoke to somebody named Kevin Potter, I believe, and he said he had not gotten the documents. He asked who I sent them to. He told me he was going to check with that person and get the documents and call me back, and I never heard back from him. I've left two voicemail messages since and have not heard back from him, and now I'm being told that the modification was canceled.
Okay. Allow me to see if I can get in contact with Kevin.
Okay.
In the meanwhile, I'll be looking to see what other information I can pull up. How we can perhaps be of some assistance to you.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul, and I do appreciate your patience. I was able to speak with Mr. and he's saying that he's still working on the issue. I explained the situation.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he is working on it, and he will contact you as soon as he's working on something. He said he will contact you.
Okay. All right, now, because I was just told that the modification was canceled, is this something that can be corrected?
Yes, I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, I can't say that 100% guarantee that it will be, but it can be, yes.
Okay.
All right.
So well, I should expect a call back from him then?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Not a problem.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, that was a nightmare. And this is something that people inside the United States, the homeowners, are going through all across this country. The remedy is, in the beginning, if you go ahead on and respond to every notice from your mortgage company, and the first thing you want to do is attack the straw man right off the bat. Make sure you have that in there so that in the event that you do land in court, you have overwhelming evidence that they have attempted to sell something to something that didn't exist. Yeah, that's number one. And any other rebuttals that you can put in there at any given time, be it through the mail and over the telephone, if you're going to allow them to contact you, they're always going to contact you if you're running behind on your mortgage, if you're late payment or what have you, with the fact that we are debt collector, this is an attempt to make a collect. You want to stop them, let them know that they're being recorded. You're going to need some information from them personally. In the event that something goes on, we have another system that I call the BLAST system. We've been using this quite successfully in the country when they are dealing with the informal conditional letter of acceptance. We want to add another complete listing and making them aware of after you've laid out all of the infractions and the what it's going to cost them in liabilities for that. We want to also put them on notice of the fact that this letter has also been sent to the following agencies: ABC News, 60 Minutes, 2020, Nightline, the mayor, the governor, everybody. It's called On Blast, and you attach that to your document. Make sure that your documents, that your letter that you're sending into the notarized letter, because it carries weight inside the court as an affidavit when you're sitting across to across the table from somebody who is pretty much basically what they're doing is called extortion. There is no money inside the United States. It is a corporation that's operating under bankruptcy. The House Joint Resolution 192 has been passed. You can write your debts off with your signature and stuff. So you might want to consider going ahead and do that and attach your proper IRS form to that and get it over to the Internal Revenue Service so they can balance their books on that debt and get it wiped off there. It's very, very important for you to do your research, and I recommend that you get this library that we have where you access that is simply by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. There's tons of information in there on how to defend yourself, whether you are dealing with a renter or whether you are dealing with a mortgage company, or if you are a lot of people are in their homes upside down. They've been scammed. That's pretty much it. We have racketeering going on with the banks. We have they've come together in packages now and dealing with a lot of companies. There are judges and prosecutors that's receiving money as a result of this thing too. So they are allowing a lot of things to go on. But when you put this thing on blast, and we got the media looking, we got the newspaper looking, we got the magazines looking, okay, now it's time for us to start doing something right. We're going to make sure that we follow every letter of the law. We're going to be as courteous as we can. We're going to take careful look at this thing. We're not going to rush through court. We're not going to run over these people like we've been doing. And it's very important for us to have the defense mechanisms.
Look, I haven't weighed into the mortgage thing in the last 12 years since I became aware of the massive fraud, because I just have been studying it. It's so complex. And I know there are a lot of groups out there and people that say, send me $10,000, I'll fix your mortgage overnight. If you hear that, don't walk, run. And I love that Randy says that. Randy, you know, has been beaten up by the police over and over again, put criminal charges on judges, police, won cases, helped a lot of people. None of it's perfect because the courts are so corrupt. But I've heard him really go through the laundry list of different frauds that the big mortgage companies engage in. And notice the whole house of cards is falling right now. You know, I mean, even BBC has the headline here saying Obama will not ban home repossession fraud. So the media here is like, oh, well, they're stopping all the, the Bank of America and other big bank foreclosures. So there's a few paperwork problems and things. Today, just briefly, I want to give you a prelude. And in fact, we'll just talk about it right now with Randy Kelton, who is a pro se guy as good as many top lawyers I know. And he specializes in a lot of different areas. That's why a lot of lawyers are learning from him. I've got a great corporate lawyer, bankruptcy lawyer. He's an expert in that. Not that we've ever done that, but that's what he, and I've talked to him about this stuff years ago. He knows about the mortgage stuff. So a lot of this dovetails with the research of Randy Kelton. Randy, I just in the little bit of time we have today, number one, let's pick a time for you to come on next week. You live in Austin. You're out of town teaching people. When do you want to be here so we can just get this done right now?
I can be there whenever you need me to. I will adjust my schedule.
Well, let's get the head producer in here of all my great crew, Jaron Neihart. Jaron, look at the big board in there. Let's get Randy on Wednesday, 1 to 5. We'll do 2 hours of overdrive. We'll do 3 hours with Randy, 1 hour main radio transmission, and 2 hours overdrive. Wednesday, 1 o'clock, be here, Randy. And, of course, you know our location is a secret because of COINTELPRO, so we'll give you the directions, but don't bring anybody, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're awesome. Randy's a great guy. Okay, I know you were just hearing that horror about the CPS. You want to briefly comment on that from all your research?
Yes, I hate to come in behind that and interrupt it because I'm a grandfather myself, and that kind of thing touches my heart. And I would very much like to get a hold of this person. I have someone in North Carolina who's a private investigator that specializes in this sort of thing, who can go in and show him everything that the Child Protective Services should be doing and look at what they are doing and show him what they've done wrong and give him some tools to extricate his family from this mess.
Because when they break procedures and break laws, as they do out of hand because of an ignorant public, they're blindsided when somebody actually has eyes.
Exactly. And we can show him how to land on them like a ton of bricks.
All right, Randy, briefly in a minute or two, tell people how you got into your overall study of the law. I mean, I'll give you an example. Andrew Jackson, our president, in the early 1830s, the war captain, the hero, it makes Conan the Barbarian look like a wimp, and he was real, okay? But some fool sent me an email saying, Alex, you said concentration camps began in the colonies during the war with the British. They began the Boer War, the official name concentration camp, but I've had the top UT historian on who wrote the best-selling book about Andrew Jackson. It's a concentration camp to take his mother and his brothers and lock them up in a facility with thousands of other people till they starved to death. Okay, but side issue. Andrew, I apologize, Randy. Andrew Jackson just went down after his family all died in the war. He was a sniper and runner when he was 11 starting in the war. Andrew Jackson went, he went to the coast, I think it was Georgia, I'm going from memory, and he apprenticed as a lawyer, and then he went before the state bar, and they said, yeah, you know everything, go, you're a lawyer. So, see, that's the other big lie. If you really study things, you can get the same knowledge they have and more, and they don't even teach real law now in most of the law schools because they don't want real lawyers. They want procedural clerks that follow the Uniform Commercial Code. But I'm going to shut up now, Randy. You've got the floor. Just briefly, go over the lies and the fraud of the mortgage company, some of the most popular things that they've done that's now bringing them down.
Okay. Most people think that when a mortgage company writes a loan, a mortgage, that they give out their money and they want you to pay the money back. Not true. They give out the money and then they take the note you signed for them and they sell it. So they get all of their money back. It is in the lender's best interest to create a note you're sure to default on. The reason for that is the lender profits at every turn.
And a fraudulent contract is not a contract.
It's not a contract. Equitable estoppel applies to a contract created by fraud. And everything about it's fraud. It's far too much to go into in these few minutes, but everything is fraud. It's been very carefully crafted, so every step.
Okay, well, let's take this one. It's you can search the term and pull up mainstream news articles, and I get countless calls where people go, my house was paid for 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I bought it for $100,000 25 years ago. It's now worth $1 million on taxes, and they just suddenly took it, and I went to the police and said it was fraud, and they didn't help me. Well, I mean, of course they didn't. They don't even understand it. What is this we're even seeing on CNN? For those that can't believe this, it's real. You can pull it up. We pulled it up earlier, where they just take paid-for houses or houses where they don't even have the deed.
That's because they've screwed up the system so bad, nobody knows who owns what. They took your note, they sold it to this investor. This investor grouped your note in with 5,000 others and then sold pieces as investments to long-term investment pools like retirement funds. And then they had four or five of them, and one's producing good, one's producing slow, so they did what they call credit default swaps. They swapped part of this one for that other one so that the one doing good they didn't have to pay tax on, and to bring up the other one just to the point they don't have to pay taxes on it. So they shifted these back and forth. Who owns that property just got lost in all this shuffling back and forth. And then some bank comes to the court and says, we want to repossess on this house. And the bank is letting them when they can't prove they hold title.
And they don't even have the paperwork, the deed. It's just in a derivative stew of fraud. They just say, well, it says I own it. And you're like, my house is paid for. I mean, this isn't just people.
Yeah, it's a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
Because you can't trace the title back to the original land grant, someone's likely to come along next year or 5 years from now and say, hey, wait a minute. I hold the title to this place. This will create an incredible mess that will follow this country from generations if we don't stop the banks.
Well, that already happens with people that own ranches and things in Texas. I read about it all the time. They might have had it in their family 100 years, but some railroad had the grant before, and their great-great-great-great-granddaddy didn't file it right at the courthouse, so they're taking it.
Yeah, and now this becomes an issue to where every house is subject to this. If this happens, this country became a mecca for investment because people in foreign countries could come to this country and buy property and be sure it was theirs. Now, after this mess, nobody can be sure of anything. All foreign investment's going to dry up. They're going to drive us into the worst depression this country's ever seen and the world's ever seen if we don't get this fixed. And the way to fix it is for each individual to kick that lender's behind. Sometimes it's hard for people because they're embarrassed that they're behind on their mortgage. Well, you shouldn't be embarrassed if everything about it was a fraud. And if you don't go in there and force the banks to do right, your children and your grandchildren are going to suffer with you.
And that's on the lower end where there's a micron of responsibility where they go to poor people, tell them to lie on the forms, the bank tells them, and the government says, go get this, this is the American dream, knowing they're going to sell it into derivatives, leverage it to the power of a million. I mean, this was designed to do this. And so that's a fraud but this is, again, I mean, I go back, the first house I bought, $100,000 9 years ago in South Austin. It's now worth about $150,000. The first house I bought, $100,000, and then Bank of America bought my mortgage and then started threatening to sue me, and they literally took my escrow, it was like $5,000, and said, you got to pay it again. But I said, I went and got all the paperwork, got a lawyer. The lawyer threatened them. They said, oh, it was a mistake, sorry. But if I was some, uneducated, poor, blue-collar, handyman or something who's a great guy but doesn't understand all this, he just, I don't know, I guess I'm wrong. They say they're taking it. I mean, that's what happens.
That's exactly what's been happening. And they've got into such a glut of profit-taking that they mess things up for themselves. And now the sky is beginning to fall in on them, and it's falling in exactly when we said it would. The politicians who created this mess are going into an election with a 10% approval rating. Every member of the House of Representatives is up for elections looking to get thrown out, and primarily for voting for the bailout, are now trying to use the lender as a scapegoat to get the public back on their side. So what they've done is delivered up the lender to the courts. Now we really have an opportunity to win these cases in the court. We're at a tipping point. The stars have been aligning themselves for a while. This pendulum of injustice has swung out as far as it can, and it's beginning to come back.
And just like with Rome, it happens when the elites go crazy. Continue.
That's exactly what's happening. We hear these stories about 2012, this great change coming. It's not going to be the Nephilim coming down in spaceships. It's not going to be some foreign agent. It's going to be us, you and I. Finally, the people are going to stand up and say, enough of this crapola. And with the mortgage issue, there are so many people being ripped off and stolen from that it is the best way to get this turned around.
Well, Randy, I want to announce something here. We just skipped the network break, so station should be carrying this. We've skipped quite a few. I apologize to Ted. This information is so important. You know what? I want to go through more of this, so we're going to do 20 minutes of overdrive, but that cuts into General Hamid Ghul, but I guess people can get it at the archive or the free podcast or PrisonPlanet.tv, but this is important as well. So we'll do 20 minutes into the next hour, because I had promised to get into some other economic news. What I'll do is we'll talk about five more minutes, then I'm going to hit a little bit of news before the official show ends, but most stations still do carry the fourth hour, because a lot of days we do it live. I've just cut the fourth hour because we're getting ready for the TV show every day, a 30-minute news brief, and then I'm going to do a highly polished once-a-week one-hour show. And so I've got to get everybody ready to where I can't do 4 hours of radio and then do the preparation and go do a TV show. We're trying to produce pretty well, like a news program. I'm just letting folks know. People are like, well, why'd you quit doing the fourth hour? Well, we don't always. I literally can't do it. When I do 4 hours, I can do 10 hours while I'm live. And then after I've done those hours, I'm just completely exhausted like a jellyfish. And so I got to keep that energy. Randy, just amazing info. Can you stay with us 20 minutes to the next hour?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And then you're going to have all the documents. You can put them on a disc. We can show them on the computer, on TV next week. And we'll do we'll do 3 hours. We'll do one to four. I said 1 to 5. That'd be 4 hours. But continue, because there's so many different types of fraud, and they're not going to be able to hide this. And that's what scares me. You know, they've invaded Pakistan now and Afghanistan. They announced a month ago that they made secret deals with the Pentagon to steal all the death benefits of troops that have been paying for death insurance from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm 1, Desert Storm 2. It's crazy they've got 400 mobile microwave trucks. It's crazy that they we are in the twilight zone, Randy. I mean, taking people's houses that they don't even own and that are paid for? I mean, it's insane. I know why people can't believe it. But now it's all over. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have a man in California. Wells Fargo took his house. 3 months later, Chase came after his house. They said, I hold the note. And Wells Fargo said, we hold the note. Nobody knows who holds the note. And it's even worse than that. The banks really don't care about foreclosing and selling your house. That's chump change. All the money they make on defrauding you up to foreclosure is all chump change. On almost every mortgage, if you look on your mortgage paperwork, you'll see mortgage insurance. That'll pay the lender 80% of the principal if you default. What you don't know is he has 8 or 10 more of those.
Okay. I see we have a call on the line, and I'm going to open up the line. If you have any questions, now is your time to raise your hand. We'll go ahead and recognize that and see if we can get those questions answered for you. Area code 954. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? What's your question or comment?
This is Janet Wiggly, calling you again from Miramar, Florida. I have a question. Now, from 2003 to present, which is 9 years, 5 different banks have owned that house, have owned my house. And at this point, I don't know who really owned it. Bank of America is the one I'm getting letters from now. But each time a bank was buying it from another bank, and, you know, until we look now, it's 5 different banks from 2003 to present. So what happened in a situation like that? I mean, they kept selling it and selling it.
Okay, well, that means that what they have done is they have put you in what's called a your mortgage was called a bucket, and with loan of many others, sometime in the hundreds, and they chop these things up and they're selling it, and they got the insurance companies backing them up. So what you need to do is if you remember what bank you were sent to initially start the whole process when you got your house. And,
yes, I have that bank.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, I have all of them.
Okay, well, what you need to do is send each one of them a letter and ask the same three questions that we started out with on this broadcast, and those three words are produce the note. Could you please send us a copy of the note? And so that we would know, which will provide proof for our office, you are the original holder of the note. Pay very close attention to it if you do get lucky enough to get one. But based on what you're telling me, is something that people have been victimized with all across the country. So they won't be able to produce it because they don't know where it is. And if they can't produce it, they can't prove they own it. And if they can't prove no own it, no evidence, no case. So make sure that you make copies of that letter that you send out. And if there's any response from the bank, make sure you make a copy of that. And whatever letters you do send to them, make sure that they're notarized and sent by certified mail so they have to sign for them and get them.
Okay, and also one other question is, the bank, the house was refinanced in 2005, and they said that, I guess, the equity or whatever was $27,000, but they only gave us $11,000. So what happened to the additional $16,000?
Okay, well, what may be a good idea, if you send them a letter explaining exactly what you just told me, and please respond to the question, please respond to the question within 10 days. What we have people doing is protecting themselves and putting themselves in creditor status by going ahead and creating their putting their estate in place. After you get that thing in place, then you want to go ahead on and put your private property signs up around your house, and the fact that the house is under a private estate.
Okay.
And that way, with your no trespassing signs up, you got some protection there. Also, you might want to go down to your county clerk's office and pull up your information on your house and see if go ahead and see if it's possible to put a lien against the property that the house sits on. And if that's possible, go ahead and place that. So in the event that anything goes on, the property becomes untouchable. They're not dealing with the debtor; they're dealing with a creditor. So any information that they send you, there is going to have to go to General Post. There's no point in trying to contact you by phone over anything. Just go ahead and respond, because we're going to need to get that letter. And so we can put what we have as evidence and put it in the file. You want to keep a file with all the responses.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Okay. If there's anybody else out there that got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we can get these answers for you. Okay, once again, I just mentioned to the young lady about the estate. We have that information inside the Hawkins Library, and the way you access that at library is simply by contacting me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. Once you get that thing in place, then you go ahead on and remove your address from the property. Go ahead and remove your mailbox receptacle code, because you're not operating in you're no longer a resident, which places you in debt of status. Your local post office operates on commerce. You're no longer operating in commerce under debt of status. You are receiving any information that comes to you at your general post, and the best time to collect your mail would be during the morning hours. And it's supposed to be given to you over the counter. That's a very, very powerful tool There's a 43-page manual that goes along with that, explaining the entire thing to you. There's several sample letters. For those of you who have a problem with the sheriff's department, the police stops, regardless of what it is, we have sample letters of conditional offer and acceptance with liability. And, of course, we show you how to go about creating the blast letter. That's very, very effective because what happens is when you're dealing with these people and they're trying to defraud you and they're trying to roll you and trying to rob you and committing all kind of acts of racketeering against you, you want to be able to make sure that if they're doing this, they are unable to do this successfully without receiving some damage against themselves, because credibility is very, very is a very important thing. We got some people up in high offices, and their election depends on their credibility. But when they have, when you got the media with information from you pointing out the fact that this judge has broken the law, as it was cruel to me in this way, form, shape, and fashion. You've sent the letters out to 60 Minute, 2020, Nightline, Oprah Winfrey, everybody, Jet Magazine, you name it. Make a whole list of them. Try to get you at least 50 of them. And go ahead and send this letter out, letting them know, explaining exactly what they've done to you, what's going on, and go ahead and put them on blast. And then that way you'll have that there going for you. And once they get a notice of the fact that this has been done as a result of their mistreatment of you or their racketeering against you, then that contributes to curbing the situation and the things that they're doing to people. Okay? Now, if there's any more people out there that's got something else to say, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll go ahead and get to you, open up the lines, and you can say what you have to say. Keep in mind that we're offering our free articles, as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game. The way you get that is simply by contacting me by email at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com, and we'll rush that to you. Now, that's very, very important information for us to know, involved in what's going on inside the country today. Now, we got another hand raised, and I'm going over here and open up this line here. Area code 609. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Yes, Brother Tahaka. This is Tyrone Howell from Trenton, New Jersey, Bay.
Okay. What's on your mind?
I have a quick question. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm coming on the tail end of your show. My quick question is, see, I've been for a loan modification with the bank, and I had got approved, and they had to go through a four-month trial period, and I successfully completed the trial period, and now I'm just waiting for them to finish the final paperwork. And I called a lady today. This will take 45 to 90 days, but it's almost going on to 4 months now, and she told me that they wait for the government to sign off. So my question is, should I go ahead and file a paperwork to find out who really owns the house, or just wait till the loan modification is done, or what? I don't want to try and, bundle stuff for myself.
Okay, well, it seems to me they're dragging the foot. If she told you somebody, they're waiting on the president to sign something. See, what we discovered here with this loan modification thing that's going on with the banks today, they're not interested in really helping you. What the banks are doing is just simply interested in making money. If we pay attention to what goes on, especially with world news, for those of us who watch TV, I used to watch, and that's the only type of news that mostly I would watch. Anytime you see upheavals and things happening to certain industries, you got to understand that these industries are attempting to survive. And as the gentleman stated earlier in the broadcast, the banks are simply not doing the loan modifications. They're not concerned about whether or not you keep your home. They're only interested in making money. Half of them can't even produce the note. So what I would do in that situation is I would go ahead and contact them and see what's the problem, what's the hold up, how much time it's going to be. Could you please, you know, if there's the original, lender, could you please provide me with a copy of the note and of the mortgage for my records, and see how they respond to that. And if they are unable to respond to that, what I would do is I would go ahead on and let them go ahead and drag their feet, because nine times out of ten, they ain't got it. And if they can't produce it, they ain't got it, no evidence, no case. So you have to just use your head and think about it and examine everything that you get from them.
Okay. Yeah, that was interesting. I wonder why, you know, they had me go through the trial period, and then they suddenly last paperwork to sign off on the paperwork, and they say, well, you know, this is it. We're going to finish the paperwork from here and send you the last copy of the paperwork, and that's it. But they dragging their feet on this, like they're trying to set me up. They really don't want to give it to me.
No, well, they're interested in making money.
Right.
You know, because a lot of banks are in trouble. A lot of them, just like the guy said earlier, a lot of these banks are being sued. And so that means that, you know, and you have to keep in mind that the only money, what we are calling money, there is no money, but the only fiat that the banks have come from the depositors. Now, if they are using this fiat of the depositors, that's illegal. So what they're counting on is insurance settlements. And we know that the insurance companies have already went through their debacle. So they head hunting too. So if you pay attention to what's going on, then you begin to protect yourself from these wolves, because that's what they are. They're wolves.
Well, I'm glad you underlined something very important. Now I really understand now where that insurance, that MIP or PIP I pay for, that's not for me. That's to cover them some guns. I'm paying for them.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they got what you discovered. This is why it's so important for everybody to look at what they have, because there's so much corruption going on. There's corruption going on that a lot of people haven't even discovered yet. That's going on. So you if you study and you do your research and you do your examination, anytime you get something from them, look at it.
Okay.
Take your time, sit down and say, well, look, I'm going to read this in word for word. If it's something I don't understand, I'm going to pop open Black's Law Dictionary and take a look at it. And look up these terms and look up these words. And sometimes they have things in fine print. Get your magnifying glass down there. They got all kind of tricks, man. One thing that we have to understand, the United States is a rogue government.
Yeah,
and these people, they're in the courts, they're in the sheriff department. These people are, like I said it before, these are criminals.
That's right.
If we can understand that, then we, you know, we can get on and we can survive this thing. I got 2 minutes left. You have another question?
No, I'm fine. I called in late. I didn't think you'd be on tonight, and I miss you. So I guess I'll call next time. Yeah, it's very interesting. You're very informative. And I appreciate everything for the info you're giving to the people, you know.
All right, my brother. You can always re-listen to the broadcast from start to finish.
Right, I'm planning to do it in the morning. Good luck spending my life, you know. And I also plan to get into your library, because I had got your DVDs in the past. I'm trying to get in your library.
Well, just give me a shout, man, and we get you in there, and I'll point you right where to go.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Brother Doc.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, let me go ahead and see if I've already covered this one here. Area code 954. Area code 954.
You talked to me already. Maybe I hit it more than once. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we only have a minute and 30 seconds left. And we've come to the close of this broadcast, and I'm going to do this here one more time.
Welcome back here to Fox and Friends. Are you like millions of other Americans right now facing foreclosure? Well, did you know that there are three simple words to stall the whole process? It's like a ray of light in my life. Kendra Todd is a real estate analyst and a host of HGTV's My House is Worth What? Joins me now to talk more about this. Good morning. Good morning to you, Kendra.
Oh, good morning, Clayton.
Okay, so the three words, what do people need to say to their bank to stall foreclosure?
produce the note. It's really that simple, three little words. And if you think about it, it's kind of astonishing to think that banks are having, in many cases, a difficult time producing the original documentation that homeowners purchase or signed when they purchased a home. But University of Iowa did a study, and of 1,700 bankruptcy cases that had to deal with foreclosures, 40% of them, they couldn't find the original loan documentation.
This is unbelievable to me. So you basically, you call your bank, you call maybe your loss mitigation department at Chase or Citibank or wherever your mortgage is with, and you say, I know we're going through this foreclosure process. I just simply want you to produce the note. How long can you stall this process for?
Well, there have been some extreme cases in which people literally have stalled the foreclosure process for years. But at the very least, if they can't produce the note, maybe it'll stall it for a couple of weeks. But here's what's important to understand is delaying the foreclosure process doesn't solve the problem. It might drive straight to the heart of this whole mortgage mess. But if it buys you time to be able to negotiate with your bank for a lower rate, lower payments, that's great. But use the time that you have to do something productive with it.
Okay, so in that remaining time that we have here, loan modification, forbearance, and a short sale, some of these things that people should try if they have 60 days of reprieve to get this done?
Absolutely. Now, if you want to stay in your house, you really want to negotiate with the bank, possibly with a forbearance, which allows you to make less than the full monthly payments per month. Obviously, getting a lower rate and payment helps. But 68% of people who are able to negotiate lower rates still go into foreclosure. So it is important to try and figure out something on a financial level to help keep you in your home so President Obama's new housing plan can help you. It's going to help the people that are in their homes, not the ones that have lost them already.
All right. Kendra Todd providing us with the three words, produce the note this morning. Great stuff. She's a real estate analyst and host of HGTV's My House is Worth What. Check her out there. Also check her out at KendraTodd.com. Thanks so much, Kendra.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.